This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with mocked, forsaken, wonders at his death, Jesus buried, and guard at the tomb. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
We're very familiar with the story of King David wanting to build a temple for God, and God saying, no, I will build you a house instead of you building me a house. What we're not familiar with as much is how David responded to that promise. The whole rest of that chapter in 2 Samuel 7 is a prayer from David about that promise and about how God keeps all of his promises. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, the story of David worshiping God in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 24. Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So talk about what happened immediately before our Bible lesson today and why it's so important.
Yes. David becomes king in place of Saul, of course, because that's whom God had anointed through the prophet to be the king of Israel. And he defeats enemy after enemy in Israel. Now, the Bible study begins with chapter 7, verse 18, entitled David's Prayer of Gratitude. So what we need to do, as you indicated, is to look back at the previous part of that chapter to see over what he was so thankful for. And the word of the Lord had come to Nathan, the prophet, and said, "Go and tell my servant David, would you build a house for me to dwell in?" Because David was under the impression that he was going to build a house. And he says, "I did not speak a word to the judges of Israel that I needed to have a house built for me. Therefore, you shall say to my servant David, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make for you a great name of the great ones of the earth, and I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more." And he goes on then and says that when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now, many people think that God is probably talking about Solomon, because Solomon is, of course, David's second son with Bathsheba, and he becomes Lord over the entire nation of Israel. But after his death, his two sons fight, and that divides the nation of Israel into two camps, northern Israel and southern Israel. But it's also quite possible to understand that the house that God is going to build for his name will be through Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, "My steadfast love will not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And those are the words that Nathan got from God, and he then spoke them to David. And that leads then into the Sunday school lesson entitled David's Prayer of Gratitude. So even though he was not going to be the one to build the temple where the people would worship, he was in great gratitude to God for whom God was, for what he had been doing with David, and what he will continue to do with David. And that's the Sunday school lesson for this next time.
When God tells David that he will build a house for David, how is that actually fulfilled?
It's fulfilled in two ways. First, Solomon does build what's considered to be a tremendous feat of architecture, and that is the temple of the Lord. In fact, later on, when the Babylonians destroyed it and the people tried to rebuild it, they couldn't even come close to what Solomon had done. But it's also fulfilled in that through Solomon, the seed continued to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And therefore, I would say that the fulfillment of what God was telling through Nathan to David would be that the house of David would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We ought not think it unusual in the New Testament that even when Jesus is referred to, he's often referred to as the Son of David. And he has this argument with the Sadducees, the Pharisees about David, and gives the impression that even before Abraham was I am, which means he was God, and they don't like hearing that at all. But it is very important to understand that the line of David goes straight through to Jesus. In fact, the Concordia Publishing House has a real interesting chart starting with Adam at the top of it and following him all the way down to Jesus. And of course, he's only of the one tribe of Judah, but you see the ancestors of Jesus leading all the way from Adam down to Jesus. And David, of course, is right there in the middle of that wonderful list of names. So David hears this promise, and he knows that he is going to be blessed by God in having a kingdom that's going to be from him and will be a blessing to all the nations.
So how does David respond to the Lord's promise that one of his descendants will sit on the throne forever?
He responds with a gift of gratitude, something we certainly can get across to the Sunday school children. A lot of times the Sunday school children do not have an attitude of gratitude simply because they're not really thinking about how many blessings that they are receiving from God. And yet, just as David learned of the blessings through the prophet Nathan, that was God speaking through Nathan, so also the Sunday school children can learn from the Sunday school teachers and ministers in the church the tremendous blessings that they have received, beginning with their baptism. A lot of times they may even see a baptism taking place and not realize that there they have the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, and they also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when we take a look at what David is grateful for, we find out that he's not grateful because he's such a strong individual in the sense of leadership in war. He's not grateful because he has defeated many enemies. He's not grateful because of his standing. He's always grateful because of something God has done. And so he goes in and says, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is in my house that you have brought me thus far?" Now, that's a great attitude to have toward God. Who are we that we think everything is going to be going in our way? That just doesn't happen. In fact, it does occur later on in also 2 Samuel, when David brings into his place for eating a son of his good friend. David and he was really good friends with Saul's son. And when he died, the son continued to reign and he was lame. And he says much the same thing. He says, "Why are you doing this?" And David says to him, and I'm looking at chapter 9 now, the son of Jonathan was Mephibosheth, and he falls on his face, and he's afraid of David. He says, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" Now, that's an attitude that we have in divine worship. When we confess our sins, we say we are poor, miserable sinners, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. We are like a dead dog. And to get that attitude across to the children is very important, because they don't deserve to be getting the gifts that a Christian receives. And that was David's attitude. He says, you know, "Why did you put me into this situation? Who am I that should have received all of these wonderful items that you have brought me this far?" And yet, verse 10, he says, "This was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to others." And David was very grateful that his house would continue. And then he says, "What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God." Now we get into great Reformation theology in verse 21. "Because of your promise," that's what David says, "according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it." You see, every other religion in the world would be thanking God because we are so good in our works. But David thanks him because of his promises. And they were on the basis of God's own heart. If we want to understand what it means for God to be merciful and grateful to us, it should never be related to our good works. It always should be related to his love and his heart, that he simply decided to make a decision to die for dogs who did not deserve the death of his son, Jesus Christ. And David says, "You have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it." And that's what Sunday school is about, to help the children know, as David says in verse 22, "You are great, O Lord God. There is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." And that's how we get across to Sunday school children, to have them hear with their ears the promises of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on David worshiping God in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 24. David talks about God redeeming his people from Egypt. What is he discussing there?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with mocked, forsaken, wonders at his death, Jesus buried, and guard at the tomb. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the Confession of Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease, talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Sanctifying your vocations with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is leading us in a Sunday school lesson on David worshiping God in 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 24. Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through 12th grade. Find out more at flsplano.org. Residential and online classical Lutheran education, Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. So, Tom, in that prayer, David talks about God redeeming his people from Egypt. What is he discussing there?
Yes, one would think that for God to redeem the people, he was doing that so they would get the benefits. But it's interesting in verse 23, "Who is like your people Israel," David prays, "the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people." There's the purpose for the redemption, so that these people would be God's people, and that a name would be made for God, as he does for them great and awesome things, by driving out before them those whom you redeemed from Egypt, driving out the nation of Egypt and its gods. And you establish for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever. And you, O Lord, became their God. Now, the end of that verse, namely, "You, O Lord, became their God," verse 24 of 2 Samuel 7, really helps us to understand the giving of the commandments in Exodus 20. A lot of people think, in fact, every religion imagines, that God gives commandments so we will obey them and we can make him our God. No. It's very clear that God becomes the God of the Israelites before they hear the Ten Commandments. "I am the Lord your God. I can prove it to you. I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And then he says, "Therefore, if you realize these promises that I have given you, you will have no other gods before me. You won't take my name in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath day," etc., etc. And so David is thanking God that the purpose of his redemption was so that Israel would be his people forever. Now, some people think, well, wait a minute, the nation of Israel, many of them there in this world don't really believe in Jesus as their Savior. But if you take a look at Romans 9, God has Israel referring to those who are part of the Christian church, Jew and Gentile. That's the Israel, the Christian church, that will last forever. And that's, again, what David thanks God for, because he says, the house of your servant David will be established before you, because you have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build you a house. Therefore, now we find the reason for David's prayer. Your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. We need to get across to the Sunday school children that the courage to pray to God the Father has been given to them in their baptism, because they are now children of the Holy Trinity. And as a child of the Holy Trinity, there is nothing that they could ask their earthly father or mother that they would not ask their spiritual father. And once again, we get back to the Reformation. Verse 28, and now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. And with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever. So that's the part of the Sunday school lesson from 2 Samuel, and the reason for David's prayer of thanksgiving. But the Sunday school lesson goes on and says we should also look at Psalm 24. So should I say a few words about that?
Sure. Take us through that if you would.
All righty. It's almost the same as the thanksgiving that David gave to the Lord. In fact, it's titled A Psalm of David. And editors have put at the top, the King of Glory. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And then he asks the question, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? And the answer is, verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. Now that reminds us of another psalm David wrote, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That new heart, the spiritual heart, is the abiding place of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? David, as in the prayer of thanksgiving, notes that that person will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So the children need to learn that, yes, we are sinners, but because of our trust in the promises of Jesus, as we repent of our sins, God declares us sinless, forgives our sins, and gives us the righteousness of God himself for our salvation. So David continues in Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord. And there the word Lord has capitals, which is referring to the name that Moses got from the burning bush, Yahweh, Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I am who I am, or what I like to say, I fulfill what I promise. This is the Lord, strong and mighty. And so we're to lift up ancient doors that the King of Glory may come in. That means that he may come into our heart. And who is this King of Glory? He is the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And the word hosts in the original Hebrew really means the one who is to overcome all problems, sometimes with war, with battle. In fact, that's what Jesus did when he came into the world. What was he warring against? The devil himself. And he was able to defeat the devil at the cross, and having risen from the dead, the children should be assured that they have been saved from the devil, the world, and the flesh. And all this comes out of the prayer of David in thanksgiving to God.
So if you would, what is the law and gospel of these two texts, 2 Samuel 7 and Psalm 24, for the Sunday school children?
Yes. The law is, we're really sinful. Remember, David begins by saying, who am I that you should be dealing with me in such bountiful and merciful ways? And so the law reminds us we are not worthy to receive what God gives us. But the gospel is the promise of God that he forgives us, he covers us with Christ's righteousness, and therefore we should have no fear to worship him. And we should instruct the Sunday school children that that's why they are able to come to church and worship God, because he has declared them to be righteous in his sight, and hopefully give the children an invitation to share with their friends, neighbors, and other relatives the good news of what David had to say in his thanksgiving prayer.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. We'll post a link to Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss sexual addiction and depression with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Faith That Engages the Culture, and its media coverage of religion with journalist Terry Mattingly. God is indeed faithful to his promises. David knew it, did not live to see its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, but we certainly have faithfulness to the end. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.